Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you today for hour number two of the Now program on this Monday, July the 31st, last day of July, 2017. Coming up on 14 minutes past the hour here, can you believe August tomorrow? We'll head into those crazy, lazy, hazy dog days of summer here in the Midwest. But this hour, we are going to talk about a great event that happened, a great opening of a new tavern in Chicago, the Brick House Tavern. And by the name, you might guess, this is named for legendary Cubs baseball broadcaster for so many years, Jack Brickhouse. We are going to be joined momentarily by one of my favorite people, Jack's widow, Pat Brickhouse. But before we do that, let's go back and listen to some of the great moments that Jack brought us over the years. Take it away, Jack.
In the fantasy of my dreams, I have imagined myself as the announcer for the Cubs-White Sox World Series, a series that would last 7 games. With the final game going extra innings, being suspended because of darkness at Wrigley Field.
Jarvis fires away. That's a fly ball, deep to left, back, back. That's it, that's it. Hooray, he did it. Ernie Banks got number 500. A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed to the bullpen. Everybody on your feet. This is it.
36 seconds to go. Back goes Morrow. He throws in the sideline. Kittle's up to by Whistle. He's going to go. He's going to go. Touchdown. Hey, hey. Oh, buddy. Davey Whistle went all the way from the 30-yard line, the 40-yard line. It's a touchdown. Oh, man. Oh, what a pickoff!
I'd been given the honor and the privilege of an audience with Pope Paul VI. Fortunately, I was able to take our WGN tape recorder inside St. Peter's in order to bring you this broadcast of our audience with Pope Paul.
Greetings to you, ladies and gentlemen, from Freeport, Illinois. We're speaking to you now from the debate platform, where we're awaiting the arrival of Abraham Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas, Republican and Democratic standard bearers, candidates for the post of United States Senator from the state of Illinois.
You've just heard a half-hour program of dance music played for you by Raymond Scott, extraordinary composer of modern music, his quintet and orchestra coming to you from the Black Hawk at Wabash and Randolph in downtown Chicago.
And we are lucky enough to have the hospitality of the Vice President of the United States, Hubert Humphrey. Mr. Vice President, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's very great pleasure for me to be on your show. I don't know whether we're going to talk politics or sports, but I'm ready for both.
I'm very proud to be able to say that our old friend Ronald Reagan is going to be visiting with us, and when you stop to think of the monumental number of commitments and exciting and demanding prospects that are in your mind right now, Governor, I just want to say I'm as grateful as I can be.
Well, Jack, they must recognize that old sports announcers don't fade away, they just get together.
So here on this memorable afternoon in Cooperstown, my heart tells me that I have traveled the 90 feet from third to home and scored standing up. Thank you, sir.
Jack Brickhouse, nobody quite like him, and it's so great again, as I say, to bring to this program Jack's widow, Pat Brickhouse. Pat, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. Just having returned from the dedication of a new Brickhouse tavern. But I was so intrigued in listening to the highlights of Jack's career. Number one, that interview with the Pope in all of WGN's history. He is the only one that received an international award for that interview. He had so many things that were never done by anyone before.
What do you think made him that available, that he was able to transcend from sporting events to politicians, to the Pope.
He did it all. In fact, a line that I love to remember him telling me, said, you know, I love what I'm doing so much that someday I just might have to go to work for a living. he did. He enjoyed, well, they took him off of sports and put him on these interviews because he knew everyone. He went to political conventions. He did man on the street shows. He did the news. He did it all. Besides sports, 40 years with the Chicago Cubs, 27 years with the Chicago White Sox, 24 years with the Chicago Bears, and the first television voice for the Chicago Bulls. That was just the sports. He said, if I wasn't working 20 hours a day, I was dogging it. But he wasn't working. He just loved it.
He certainly was a model for everybody in broadcasting. And I do want to remember, before I forget, in hour number one, we had comedian Shecky Green on, and he wanted to say hello from him to you.
Oh, bless him. Yes. Whenever we went to Vegas, we would get together with Shecky. What an absolutely incredible person.
Very.
And thank you, Shecky. Yeah. I return the greetings.
Yes, he spoke very highly of Jack, said he was just the kindest man.
He was. There wasn't a mean bone in his body. And when Jack and I got married in 1980, I had been divorced, as he was. And I was told what a wonderful person he was, and I said, there's nobody that nice. I was wrong. He was just the kindest, sweetest, most humble individual, which is why today he's still remembered, because he of his humility. You know, I was so proud of the fact when we dedicated his statue on Michigan Avenue, and he always said to me, and then I had the part of Michigan Avenue named the Jack Brickhouse Way. And in all of his humility, he said to me one night, you know, I wonder after I'm gone if they'll take those Jack Brickhouse signs down. When I dedicated the statue, I said, no, darling. They not only will never, ever take the signs down, but now you have a statue that I gave to the city of Chicago in perpetuity. So he's there, front and center. But also now, at Wrigley Field, we have this incredible, there are no words to describe, the Brickhouse Tavern. I was recently in Chicago to help with the formal VIP dedication of the restaurant.
Pat, how did this idea come about? Take us through when you first heard about it.
Oh, I heard about it about 3 months ago when I received a call from a good friend of mine who is an executive with the Chicago Cubs. His name is Mike Lafrano. And Mike said, we're thinking of a great honor for Jack. How do you like this idea of having a restaurant with his name emblazoned with this wonderful sign on the front, Brickhouse Tavern? And interestingly enough, when I was there, I saw they made the eye on the neon sign a microphone.
Oh.
The details are incredible. There are really no words to describe it, but if you'd like, I'll give you some of the highlights.
Yes.
My mind of the dedication, which was just last week. I just returned. There were probably 1,000 VIPs at the party. The restaurant itself can seat 900 people. It's over, I'm told, 15,000 square feet. And Tom Ricketts, it built that And I expect no less from a fellow Cornhusker. I reminded him I grew up in the same hometown as Mr. Ricketts, Omaha, Nebraska. Matt Mena, who is this incredible individual I had the privilege of meeting, has a Four Corners restaurant group, and Tom Ricketts asked him if he would run the restaurant. I couldn't be happier, because he is one heck of a pro. There's also going to be a hotel opening next spring right across the street. So it's going to be called probably Ricketts Village by the time Tom is through. But Jack never had a restaurant, Scott, in his name, for a very good reason. He said, always use this cliche, shoemakers stick to your last. He knew nothing about running a restaurant and didn't want his name brought into a situation that wasn't first class. So he was always afraid to lend his name to any restaurant. In my remarks, I said, now you have something you could be mighty proud of. They have a Brick House burger on the menu, a Brick House drink. There's two levels of the restaurant. There's an outside terrace that overlooks Wrigley Field. They have a staircase leading from the first to the second floor with this huge cubby blue chandelier going down the two flights. It's breathtaking. You have to see it to believe it.
It sounds...
They have behind the bar on the first level something I've never seen before. They carve little niches, and they have baseball bats in every one of those little niches behind the bar. They have a Jack Brickhouse memorabilia case. We got some of his favorite memorabilia from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and I lent them some things. I gave them some things of my own. It was an incredible night. As I said, Tom Ricketts asked me to say a few words, and I said, normally I'm not at a loss for words, but I was that night, because I just felt so humble and so grateful that they remembered this wonderful man.
Pat?
And, yes, go ahead.
Well, no, it's interesting that you mentioned that Jack, when he was alive, was a little leery of lending his names to things that might not be up to his snuff. Obviously, this place has turned into a great thing, but when the idea was first posed to you, was there any trepidation on your part?
None at all. I knew it would be first class, and it definitely is first class plus all the way. It was a type of restaurant that Jack frequented after a ball game, because it's a little higher class bar food. But, you know, it's because it's right there at Wrigley Field. But they've got some very innovative foods as well that are very unique. And one of the cutest ones is called a waffle cone. They have chicken inside a small cone, like, you know, you would get if you ordered ice cream. And it reeks of greatness, of professionalism, high class, everything you could imagine. They pulled out no stops. And in my remarks, Tom asked me to say a couple words. I was speechless. There were no words to describe my feelings. I know it's going to be there for many, many years to come, and people will remember people come in and they'll tell their kids, oh, I'll tell you about this guy. And so it'll go from generation to generation. And I just, I was awestruck. And I understand he may be in Chicago, so you better go see it, and I'd like your opinion.
I absolutely will. Pat, if I am a Chicago Cubs fan and I am a Jack Brickhouse fan, when I go in, what kind of memorabilia would I see there?
Well, there's some of his Emmys, and some photographs that were framed. One, when he was starting out as a 16-year-old kid, he decided to cause attention. He was climbing a 300-foot flagpole to the top to do his broadcast. And naturally, people were fascinated by this wiry little kid. And he stopped traffic in both directions. Well, this is the picture and a story of that. Let's see, what else did I lend him? A lot of photos of, as you come in, there's a case right to the left of the entrance that has it all. And a little microphone that he had used. And I'm trying to remember what else, but it was, I think they might be changing it, adding to it, because this VIP opening was the official celebration. It had a soft opening to get all the kinks out earlier, so it had been open, but this, and I'll tell you, I was blown away. I was speechless, and I'm speechless to try and describe it to you now.
You know, it's interesting because you knew the man, you lived with the man, you were husband and wife with the man. What would he have thought of this?
He would have been proud. He would have been pleased. He would have been overwhelmed the same way that I was, because it's the type of place that he would have wanted had he been alive. And it's, you know, I just want all of your listeners to know that when they get to Wrigley Field to see the World Series champion, Chicago Cubs, please stop by the Brick House Tavern and give a look and give a taste. You won't be disappointed, I guarantee you.
Now, Pat, when you were there, what did you have to eat?
Well, I was there for the opening. They have a bunch of appetizers. They have a hummus dip that I've never seen the likes of it before. They have a potato. It's like nachos, but it's made with fried potatoes. And they have all kinds of sandwiches. They have a Brick House sandwich. I told them Jack's drink was scotch, so they have a scotch drink, a Brick House scotch drink. I had a Jack Brick House margarita. And it's a vast array of high-class fire food. You know, nothing fancy schmancy, but a lot better than you would get if you ate at the ballpark. It's one step above that, or several steps, let's put it that way.
Now, if you go into the Brick House Tavern, are there items that you can, memorabilia-wise, purchase, like T-shirts or hats, or is there an area like that?
Excellent question. Not that I'm aware of yet. The staff has these shirts that say Brick House Tavern on the front, and then on the back they say, hey, hey, I'm not aware that you can walk in and buy one, but that's a heck of a good suggestion. I'll have to ask him if they're planning on that. But all the wait staff wears those shirts, which was really an incredibly nice touch.
Absolutely. You know, Pat, I was thinking this morning, here's this city, Chicago, that did not have a World Series champion for 108 years, and has now two broadcasters who have streets, statues, restaurants. What is it about Chicago? What was it about that place? I can't think of any other place like it in that regard.
Well, Jack always said that Chicago has the greatest fans in the country because they supported the losers all those years. There's no other city that does that. I mean, if you're losing, they just forget about you. They don't come, not with Chicago. excuse me. And so, you know, he wouldn't have been surprised at this at all.
You know, Pat, there's a story you've told before, and I think it's such a poignant story, because interestingly enough, the two broadcasters that we're talking about are Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey, and they both left us in the same year, 1998.
About six months apart.
And I didn't know this till I talked to you, but could you tell the story? Jack had not been ill. Harry had passed away in Palm Springs. He was brought back to Chicago for the funeral. And
right.
What happened from there on?
Well, the funeral was going to be at Holy Name. And we were being picked up early in the morning. And Jack got out of bed, and his leg just collapsed. No feeling at all. He was bound and determined he was going to that funeral. So he told me to call his friend up at RIC and Dr. Henry Betts. And he said, have him send a wheelchair or a walker or something. I'm going to that funeral. And I told Dr. Betts the symptoms, and he said to me, you get him down to ER as fast as you can. And suddenly, I call it the silent killer. They took a CAT scan, and they discovered that he had a brain tumor. So when this thing all erupted with John McCain, who is our senator from Arizona, where I'm living now, it took me back, although his is different. I call it the silent killer because there's no warning at all. So he had the operation. He had a choice of living with it and becoming paralyzed on one side for the rest of his life, and he wouldn't live like that. So he had the operation. It was a 12-hour operation. 6 months later, he was coming along beautifully. I was going to take him down to get a driver's license because you have to do that after any brain problem. And we were at home. I went outside to take out the garbage. I came in. He was sitting in his favorite chair. I looked. He was slumped over. He didn't die of the brain tumor. He died of a heart attack. Because it took its toll on his body. So I got very active, and I've given a lot of money that I raised for the American Brain Tumor Association. They still don't have the answers. They don't know how to detect it before it's too late. So, you know, I say everyone should have a wonderful life like Jack Brickhouse, and being so happy in your work and in your life. It was cut short, but nothing goes on forever. Except the Brick House Tavern now.
That's right. You can go and remember Jack at the Brick House Tavern. Now, I was thinking last night, Pat, and maybe, again, this is just an idea out there. When you go there, are there, when the Cubs games are not on, of course, are there places where you can look at Jack doing what he did, call baseball?
When you say look at, what do you mean?
Like a video, like a monitor that would run like a highlight reel of things Jack did?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. There's nothing like that in the restaurant.
It would be interesting because Jack was such a consummate broadcaster, and for people who were not alive in those days, they could still see him because, boy, was he good.
Well, one thing I'm very proud of that my friend Tom Ricketts did, you know, they've made a lot of improvements. I don't know when the last time you were at Wrigley Field. But they've upgraded it tremendously. And this great big jumbotron now. And one thing I'm very proud of, when I was witness to it, because it happened, I went to a ball game. They, every time someone from the Cubs hits a home run, guess what they flash on the big jumbotron?
Hey. Love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's certain memories there. And as Tom Ricketts said in his remarks at the grand opening celebration, the formal opening, he said, it's about time that we honored this wonderful man, the broadcaster of the Chicago Cubs, for 40 years. And it was overdue, but it might never have happened. And that's why I'm so proud, I'm so grateful. Again, the humility runneth over, as they say.
You know, Pat, when you go to Chicago now, the trips you make, there's a Brick House Tavern, there's a Jack Brick House statue, there's a Jack Brick House street. They put Hey Hey up on the jumbotron. What does it seem like? Like I say, you knew this man, but yet now he's become an icon.
To say that I'm not surprised, but I'm overwhelmed. Because a lot of people deserve, as Tom Ricketts said that night of the dedication of the restaurant, he's deserving of this recognition. And there are a lot of people that are deserving, but it never happens. But I'm ever so grateful that this all has come about. So he will go on in perpetuity.
Absolutely.
People will not forget him.
No, certainly.
He's in so many, as you pointed out, different areas.
You know,
of recognition.
Pat, I wanted to ask you this, because I think this is very important, since the Cubs have now won a World Series. What, in your opinion, because you got to see it pretty much all the way, what was the difference between when the Wrigley's and the Tribune and now Ricketts? What is the difference in ownership meant to that team over the years?
Well, I really wasn't too much involved when the Wrigley's had it. Of course, I knew about it. I was living there. But I can use an old phrase of mine saying that, in my opinion, Tom Ricketts and his family are putting their money where their mouth is. They spent the money to build this team and hire the right individuals, which, you know, I don't want to talk against the Wrigley family or the Tribune Company, but they went along halfway, and Ricketts has done the full circle and brought it home. And that's what it takes. And he's done it. He's hired all the right people. I mean, he couldn't have a better manager than Joe Maddon. And, you know, Theo Epstein. And paying the money to get these players that Dean has now established a team, I think, will be around for a long time. Now, their record is not as good as it was last year, but I've read where most teams do not repeat as World Series champions in succession. I think it was the New York Yankees are the only team that has done that. A lot of them have done it with a year in between. So if they don't make it this year, they'll make it next year.
I tell you, Pat, it was so interesting to me last year, and kind of goes back to 2 years ago when the Cubs got into the playoffs and people thought, well, maybe something could happen, and unfortunately it did not. And they broke, as people said, they broke our hearts again 2 years ago.
Yep.
Then here came last year, and they go into the World Series, and everybody's excited about that. And they lose.
Down to the seventh game.
Like I say, they lose three games. They're three games down. They tie it back up. They go to the seventh game. They're not at home. They lead the game. Then in the seventh, they lose the lead. Then there's a rain delay. And we go to extra innings. Now, somebody said the next day, they said, even if the Cubs win the World Series again, that was the last great moment in sports. I don't think they meant that there won't be great moments anymore, but it was the last one that really had roots in a bygone era. And the way it played out, you just couldn't.
No question about it.
Yeah.
There's no other team that went 108 years. Well, it's been a while for Cleveland, but not 108 years.
No, I can still remember, and I don't remember too many sporting moments, but I remember the seventh inning when they lost the lead in the last game, and I thought, oh, no, here it comes again.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't. Where were you when that game was going on? What were your thoughts?
Oh, I was glued to the television set. People said, you know, were you coming in? And I knew it would be just crazy. They had the largest turnout for the parade, even beat the Chicago Blackhawks of numbers of people. And I think I said on your program when we were talking, you know, before they actually won, and you said to me, well, what would happen if they did win the World Series? I said they'll have to shut the city down for 3 days. And I'm sure that probably did happen, even though I wasn't there.
Well, you know, Pat,
there were more people that probably called in sick than any other day.
Oh, I can only imagine. You know, Pat, living in Chicago as you did, what is the biggest difference pre the Cubs winning the World Series and then taking this trip that you did last week after they had won the World Series? What is the difference?
You mean in the city?
In the city, Wrigley Field, the area, what are the big changes you noticed?
Oh, well, around Wrigley Field, I mean, it's just like day and night. With all this building, as I said, it's going to be known as Ricketts Village. That he's doing. They opened up an area which is actually where the tavern is located, called Park Place. They moved all of the Cubs offices into this building. And again, he's done it first class. He didn't stint on anything. And there are all kinds of shops there. Maybe they'll start selling the shirts from the restaurant, and they've got a Cubby store. which is right adjacent to the Brick House Tavern. And then, you know, with opening this hotel, and they got that whole area there along Clark Street from, on both sides, he bought up the land from Addison all the way to Waveland. And it's all Ricketts buildings. And it's, and what he's done with upgrading Wrigley Field, seeing it is to believe it.
Mm.
It's just, it's taken a ballpark into the new 21st century is what's happened, without losing the feel of Wrigley Field. But it's upgraded all the facilities there.
You know, Jack now has been gone almost 20 years, hard to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
What does it seem that long? What do you, what would you like most people to remember about Jack Brickhouse?
His kindness, his warmness, his undying enthusiasm. You know, I don't know if I ever told you that Jack got into broadcasting because he lost a contest.
No, I don't think so.
Did I tell you that story?
I don't think so.
It's a fascinating one because as a young kid, he had, you know, he lost his father when he was 3 years old. His mother worked in the Perry Marquette Hotel. And he grew up in Peoria, Illinois. And the promised scholarship where he could attend Bradley University never materialized. And his mother couldn't afford to send him to the university. Well, there was this contest. There were, he told me, five people that entered. It was entitled, "So You Want to Be a Broadcaster." The top prize was a watch that was valued at $50. He wanted to win that watch and hawk it and give the $50 to his mother. We entered the contest, and he said, "I think I came out next to last. I beat out the 70-year-old guy." But, thankfully, the gentleman who headed the station, which is, I think, still a CBS affiliate, heard something in his voice in all those years no one ever, ever could emulate. His voice, I mean, you just played some highlights of his career, and no one's been able to copy Jack Brickhouse's voice. It was God's gift. So he offered him a job as a part-time switchboard operator and a part-time announcer at $17 a week. Jack jumped at it and was in Peoria only a few years when he got a wire from Bob Elson, a fellow Hall of Famer in Cooperstown. There was an opening on the south side of Chicago. It said, "If asked, you know everything about baseball." He didn't know diddly-dook about baseball. He broadcast basketball games and put them, and that's another story about that, Bradley basketball, he put them on the map. And so he came to Chicago. He spent a year in New York. He said it was the worst year of his life. And he came back. He had offers in both coasts, the East Coast, the West Coast. But he loved Chicago. He said because they're the warmest, friendliest people and the greatest sports fans in this country. And spent his entire career in Chicago. There's nobody else, I think, that will have a record of 40 years with one ball club. I was actually there with him when he celebrated his 5,000th broadcast for the Cubs. There's no one going to match that on one team, not that I'm aware of.
I would doubt it. And, Pat, before time gets away from us, I do want to touch on next spring. There's something special going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I hope to get back to the Chicago and the Brickhouse Tavern and actually launch a book tour. We're in the process now of putting together the Jack and Pat Brickhouse story. Stories that are little known, with some interviews that I've done with people. And that's going to be an audible initially, but then go into a print edition. And I talked to Matt Mena, who is the head of Four Corners, about launching the tour at the Brickhouse Tavern, which would be very appropriate. He was very excited about the idea. So I hope to get back there in the spring and tell the world more about Jack Brickhouse.
Now, Pat, we have about 5 minutes left here. Could you give us a little taste of what this book would be like?
Well, it's highlights of his life, some interviews that I have had throughout the years, and little-known stories that I love to tell, about his induction into Cooperstown, for example. How much that meant to him, even though he was a member of 13 other halls of fame. This was the PA de resistance. For instance, we're sitting on the terrace of the Osasaga Hotel, which is the one big hotel in Cooperstown. And he's talking to his buddy, Joe DiMaggio, when this kid comes up to Mr. DiMaggio and says, could I please have your autograph? And Joe said, of course, to the kid, but wouldn't you also like the autograph of my fellow Hall of Famer, Jack Brickhouse? Jack put his hand to his head and said, OMG, it suddenly dawned on him. He was a member of the same league as a guy like DiMaggio. And that was a highlight, no question about it. The speech that he gave for the induction was sent all over America. It was one of the finest. Short, 3 minutes, and to the point. Things like that we'll tell. And I don't have all the details yet because it's still in the works. We're still in the recording studio at this time. And in the print edition, there will be tons of photos of Jack with various celebrities, various people that he has worked with, and some of his real friends, like President Ronald Reagan. We were together in the White House when he was president, because I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, that the two of them started out together, Reagan from Pekin and Brickhouse from Peoria, as sports announcers. At one point, he was a sports announcer. And just one of the most terrific guys, one of our finest presidents that we ever had. And we'll point out a lot of the highlights of his life and the lowlights too, a few things that didn't work out. But I'm so glad that the Brickhouse Tavern did work out. And before you have to go, I'd like to close with a great quote. Unless you have more time, I'll say that.
We do have about 3 minutes left, and I wanted you, before we end with that quote, what is something in Jack's life that did not work out?
Oh, boy. Great question. Did not work out. He wanted. I can't really think of anything that he really wanted to do, because I came into his life, you know, after he'd been broadcasting for a long time, and one of his dearest memories was, of course, Ernie Banks 500 in Cooperstown and all the other. To be perfectly frank about it, I'll think on that, and the next time we talk, I'll find something that didn't work out for him. But no, he had a great life, and again, it was one of the highlights. Though this is a fun thing. Remember when they put the lights on for the first time at Wrigley Field?
I do.
And so Jack was put on the mic to broadcast that. And it started to rain. I mean, torrential. We got rained out, I think, in the fourth inning. But that was a terrific thing that happened. Jack was part of that. And I'm trying. I'll give you a call.
Yeah, you
have he was disappointed in.
Did he ever... I'll give you a quick one here and just a question. Did he ever...
Oh, yeah. The one thing... Wait.
Go ahead.
One thing. That the scholarship for Bradley University never came through. And here... So, he never had a college education. He was self-educated, spoke the King's English. Well, I'll give you a story. He was in a cab to take him to O'Hare Airport. And he arrived there, and the cabbie said, recognized him. Mr. Brickhouse, I cannot take any money from you. Jack said, well, why? He said, you taught me the King's English, how to speak English properly, just by listening to him broadcast. He learned. And Jack was one of a kind.
He certainly...
They don't make him like that anymore.
Absolutely not. Pat, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and give us your quote. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, actually, this is what I ended my brief remarks at the dedication of the restaurant with. As long as one lives in the hearts and the minds of those he left behind, he is not really dead. Though his voice is still, his memory lingers on, and now it will linger on in the Brickhouse Tavern.
I love it. Perfect. Pat, it is always a pleasure to speak with you and the Brickhouse Tavern. I can't wait to get there. Thank you so much for coming on today.
And I will end with a hey, hey.
Perfect. Thank you, Pat.
My pleasure, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Pat Brickhouse, we're out of time today, but there's no more proper way than to say this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
CRTmechanicals.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Thomas, Marion Beltone's hearing care practitioner.